Okay, this is Make It Weird. I'm Sienna.
And I'm Steph.
That wasn't awful.
Well, we tried for slightly above awful.
Ooh.
That is our benchmark. Ooh. It's just like a step and a half above awful.
Right, okay.
I think some people like to aim for excellence or perfection or something. We're like, hey, listen, about a step and a half above awful.
We'll count it.
We're happy.
It's called the pass.
We take passes.
We're more all about the passing.
Yes.
If it's not an NQ.
There we go. Speaking of passes, you passed something today.
Speaking of excellent, you know who's excellent?
You are never going to be able to not call her excellent now.
I actually can.
No.
No, I can still
call
her
garbage. She has an excellent rating.
How funny is that?
She's an excellent garbage dog.
For reference, my garbage box mutt. Sorry, I'll introduce her better. My mutt,
5-year-old mixed breed
that came from a box in the side of the road. Now we hear, she passed her final leg for her excellent title in rally obedience today.
Yes, at an outdoor trial, and it was like
yesterday shit show. Yesterday,
yeah,
it's the first day, so she obviously always chokes on the first day,
right?
And
I've heard
but today we woke up, we showed up and we passed, and basically now she actually has an excellent title.
So yeah.
Every time I call her garbage, I can call her garbage, but she has to be excellent garbage.
Yes.
So.
Yes. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think this is going to help her ego. No.
Personally, no. I don't think so either.
No, her ego was pretty good before got the actual title. She thought she was excellent.
I don't think it helped when Maddie spent all day yesterday saying she was the best. And that was literally while she was doing her worst.
So yeah.
Mm. But yeah, her ego, we're always working on that. We're always looking to check it. So
I'm glad we got
her another ribbon.
Yeah, I was about to say
that
ribbons
tends to help the egos.
Right.
Give them ribbons.
Right. No, I think you can just leave her in one of my kennels in with all of my dogs, and she can just be one of many.
Nah.
Nah, she's fancy. She's special. Fancy.
I'll let her sleep inside tonight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there we go. She can be removed from the dumpster for tonight.
Ugh,
her home.
Fine. I guess I can feed her.
Yeah. Yeah. She very rarely gets food, gets heat, gets warmth.
Never
gets
is
love.
On a bed.
No, she's never on a bed.
On her days off, you can't find her just cruising on mom and dad's bed, just like literally sleeping for hours.
No.
I'll leave
no,
her
because
home.
We are dog trainers and dogs aren't allowed on beds.
I'll leave her
Sienna.
Home. For a day, and then I come home and they go, she hasn't moved. I didn't even let her out because she didn't move. Is she alive? Yep. Perfect.
Then you're good.
You're good.
Yeah. No, we are serious dog trainers.
Dogs aren't allowed
on
beds.
Serious dog trainers. We don't allow dogs in beds. We don't feed them chicken. Yes, you're the alpha. We don't feed them chicken nuggets.
Only alpha's on the bed.
We don't feed them chicken nuggets. We don't buy them color coordinated things. We are very... They don't come inside.
No.
It's very strict rules. That's what we do.
That's why we're effective. So
yeah, that's it. That's the only way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
If this is the first ever episode you listen to, this is not, and you at all resonated with any of that, I would definitely leave before listening to the rest of it.
To. That's weird. Why are you clicking on season 2, episode 2, or 3, or 4, or 5?
I feel like this is probably going to be episode like 4 or 5.
Well, who starts listening to a podcast unless it's the most recent? So,
yeah, that's why I'm like,
at one point somebody might listen to this podcast for the first time, and in that case, stick around.
Or if any of the last like minute and a half you thought was like, "Oh yeah, I totally believe in that." Maybe just click away before
no,
we
No, maybe
burst
stay
your bubble.
Tuned and maybe learn something.
Yeah, maybe learn something.
I mean, I don't think the people that are like that would necessarily click on a podcast hosted by two females, but like
that's actually also a very good point.
Maybe that's me being judgmental, but like...
Judgmental but accurate.
Steph and Sienna are fairly like female names. Like, I don't think you're going to get beyond clicking. But you know.
The dog world's a weird place.
You know.
Weird people show up. It's a fun time. Maybe they just were like, you know, scrolling through dog podcasts. Didn't read about it beforehand.
That's true.
Who knows? Listen. Just assume that everything we said... is garbage up until then, and just be like, oh, that's actually not accurate at all. And if you are disappointed by that, again, find another podcast.
I actually forgot what we talked about, and then I went, wait, like, Oakley getting her title is not garbage, but then I remember what we kind of launched into. So, like,
then you're like, oh, right.
It's like, what? You're shitting on. Yeah. I finally got, no, I hear what you're doing. Your flashlight's on.
Yeah, I got there. My flashlight is on.
Okay. Steph, what do we be talking about today?
I feel like we came up with so many options, but I feel like we are going to talk about Littermate Syndrome.
Unless we do, what if that season two shtick is like, we say what we're going to talk about, and we get 3 minutes into talking about it, and then we actually go, just kidding, leashes.
I feel strongly like not only will we hate that, and people will hate that, Haley will hate that. And Haley has the ability to ruin our lives. So I do think we should pick a topic and do the thing.
We have her dogs.
That's true. We have her dogs today. So, yeah, but we won't have her dogs for long.
But we're going to talk about Littermate Syndrome because...
because people keep doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so much.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows about it. And what they think they do know about it, they know a very, very, very... they know a very small facet of it. Well, it's not wrong. It's just, it's one very small piece. Everybody's like, oh, Littermate Syndrome is only two dogs from the same litter that are actively trying to kill each other. And I'm like, well...
you're not wrong.
You're not
it's
wrong.
It's like one of those rules. Like, yes, could be that. That is that. All that is Littermate Syndrome, but not all Littermate Syndrome is that.
Yes. Squares and rectangles. That's how that works. You're looking at me with a blank face. Well, all rectangles are squares, but not all squares are rectangles.
That is hilarious that that is your, like, that's your variation of that rule is squares and rectangles.
Yeah.
I've never heard that, but also that's pretty boring.
Well, I'm an old person, so I have boring old references.
Hot tubs, but not all hot tubs are jacuzzis. All mezcal is tequila, but not all tequila is mezcal.
I don't know the difference between hot tubs, jacuzzis, tequila, or mezcal.
Well, it's very popular and common to do this with brands. Like, all Kleenex is tissue, but not all tissues are Kleenex.
Really? This is a common thing that people say?
Okay. No, this is a common thing in my household that my dad ruined for me. But, like, all fingers are thumbs, but not all thumbs are fingers. Wait, no. Right. All thumbs are fingers, but not all fingers are thumbs. You know, like, I could play this game all day because that's all my father ever did. It's this and how long's a string. Don't even get me started. But I'm just saying, like, that's so interesting that to you, your variation is squares and rectangles.
Well, yeah, squares and rectangles, and how long is a string is the distance between 0 and 1. 0.01, 0.001, 0.0001.
No, I'm familiar.
Everything comes back down to math, which is really funny because I'm not that great at math.
No, but okay.
You do have a mosquito on your head. Oh, you got it. Wow. No. I don't think you killed it, but it flew away. Okay. And it was very distracting.
Okay.
I didn't realize there were more variations to that. But
I could do a podcast on that.
That's such a dad joke kind of thing, too.
Yeah, I have a dad who likes to make jokes.
That's phenomenal.
You know.
Wow. Next time I go to your house, I'm going to need him to give me a bunch of these, because this is fantastic.
No, like, the string
I have met him
bonkers.
Many, many times, and I've never got the, like, the all thumbs or fingers, but not all fingers. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That's much easier to relate to than when I give people the rectangle and the square example.
Yeah,
let me tell you, a lot of people,
you know,
look
I gotta
at me
say,
like
it is kind of like, I'm like, not really. Like, they're different. To me, they're different.
No, all rectangles are squares. If I put a rectangle there, you'd be like, yeah, that's square.
No, I wouldn't. If you drew me a square and said, what is that? I'd say a square.
Well,
if
it's
you
not
drew
a circle.
If you drew me a rectangle, I would never, ever, ever be like, that's
a
square.
If I drew a rectangle and a circle next
what
to each
shape
other,
is this? My phone.
It's square.
No,
it's not a square, but it is
it's
square.
It's a brick. It's a rectangle. No, you will lose that battle a million times over. I'm not, like, nobody's going to be like, oh, rectangle, that's a square.
It's a square object.
Okay.
It's not a circular object.
No, but people don't classify shapes like that. They classify shapes as what it is. Is that an octagon? Is that a square? Is that a triangle?
Hey,
is that a circle?
This is a dog podcast.
What's a triangle? Is that a square? Is that a circle? No, there's not two branches. It's not fruits and vegetables. I'm just saying.
I think this man, you may have some latent trauma about both squares and rectangles.
You know why? Really sure. Because I'm literally looking, I'm closing my eyes and I'm going back to like grade 9 math with the fucking parallelograms and like in a math textbook and stuff. And yes, there is trauma there. Again, back to dad.
I'm just saying, you immediately, because you
were sitting at a kitchen table and you're talking to me about math. Do you want me to cry?
Well, to be fair, I think you've only cried twice today. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want me to go for 3 for 3? Bring Dixon in here and I'll show him what crying at the kitchen table looks like.
I do love that, yes, you got slightly teary and he was like, wow, this is a lot of crying in one day. I was like, right, that is true. Yes, again, the man lives with me.
I know.
And does not have sisters. So.
Crazy.
Yeah. 100%. So, this is a dog podcast, and we are at some point.
I want that conversation left in because I do want to ask people. I want people to comment whether they would ever look at something rectangular and go, oh, that's square.
Fuck off. It is.
No. Mm-mm. Unless you have a PhD in like shapes and you're really, really into shapes. No.
I'm going to get you a shirt that says, I have a PhD in shapes.
I'm sure someone does. I'm sure that's a whole thing.
I think it's a PhD in math, like geometry or
yeah,
some shit.
I'm like, what's this?
I love that neither of us are kids that did secondary school and we're trying to figure
out. We're really qualified to talk about PhDs.
We are lightly qualified to talk about shapes. We are not qualified to discuss what constitutes a PhD.
Yeah, we
just
are.
To be clear. Oh, wow. That is said with the confidence people, of. Yeah, that was said with the confidence of a white man knowing anything.
Right. A lot of people have dog podcasts.
That, oh, fuck it. That is like, very true.
You know what?
You know what? Okay.
Make it weird instead of dog stuff and occasional nonsense. Make it weird shapes.
That is true.
Okay, littermate syndrome.
True. Right, littermate syndrome.
What okay. is it?
Littermate it syndrome. Can it be summed up? Yes. The answer is yes, because we're not going to sum it up. We are going to talk about it for 40 minutes.
Right.
Right. The summary will be less a summary and an in-depth discussion on what we have experienced in Littermate syndrome.
Aren't those the same? Maybe I'm confused what a summary is. But anyway.
Anyone who's ever met me does not think I even know what the word summary means. So
I would agree with that.
You've heard me do a go-home.
I would agree with that.
There is no summary.
I've heard you do anything.
Yeah, there's a lot of words involved. Okay, littermate syndrome. We deal with littermate syndrome a lot. I absolutely love when people outside of the dog industry that say, hey, littermate syndrome's fake because they had like two dogs together once that say, oh, hey, like it's fake. Okay, live your life. Cool, whatever.
People say it's fake.
Yeah, people are like, that's not real. That's a myth, whatever. And I'm like, okay, interesting. But what gets me is when people in the dog industry are like, littermate syndrome is a myth. And I'm like,
I just Googled littermate syndrome just to yeah. see like what the first thing that pops up is. And it goes, littermate syndrome is a term sometimes used to describe sibling rivalry or extreme attachment between dogs, which like, yes, but I also just think like saying sibling rivalry makes it look cute. Like makes it yeah. sound like, aw,
oh,
they're
I could
siblings.
Get
there's a bond there. You know, sometimes
yeah.
you spit with your
siblings.
I have siblings.
A rivalry with my sibling.
Yes.
It's fine.
When it's like, no.
No. No. But this right here, your Google search right now is why we are about to talk about Littermate syndrome for 45 minutes. Because people Google it and they think it's this cute little thing.
I will say this also just on like the second sentence is there's a longstanding theory that when sibling dogs are raised together, problems can develop. But even that longstanding theory just makes
it
to me.
It implies
like,
that it's not that serious.
People whisper.
Yeah.
There are rumors that if you raise two dogs together,
yeah,
it might
but
not
it,
work
but
out.
It would never happen to me.
No.
It would never happen
those
to my
those are for the people
dogs.
That get like
bad
littermates.
Yeah. No, it would never do that.
Mine are cute. They're going to grow up together.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cute. Would you like a third?
Maybe.
Yay.
Can I get a girl, a boy, and a girl?
Ooh, wow. Listen, littermate syndrome, this is going to be based on what we've experienced, so take that with a grain of salt because we also do more on the significant side of MAUD, right? So when we're talking about littermate syndrome, we get a lot of littermate syndrome in the vein of already people dealing
pretty
with
extreme
behavior. Yes. So
like,
there
whoa.
Is moderation here. But even in moderation, littermate syndrome can be not great, and it can be not great to deal with because what might seem like a very, very small issue can blow up out of proportion very, very quickly when you're talking about littermate syndrome.
Well, and it's one of those things that you, a lot of the times when it's not that extreme, you really don't see it until very specific situations arise.
It's like, as much about what about it, is as what it is. It's about, it's as much about what it is and what they've learned as what they have not learned and what it's not.
It's the missing pieces.
Yes, right? And that's where I'm like, so littermate syndrome is not just when you get dogs from the same litter of the same age. They are dogs that are around the same age.
Yep.
And I would say up to a year apart, you can see dogs. If you have a very immature one-year-old and you got, let's say, a three-month-old puppy from a rescue, and that's close. Like, if you have a very immature one-year-old, that age range is very close. Let's say you're not really into crating. Let's say you didn't do any training.
Especially if you don't know that going into it, like, that this is even a thing.
Yeah, if you didn't do any training with the first dog. And I don't mean, hey, I did some training at home. My dog knows how to sit and down. Let's say you did not do any professional training with that first dog. That first dog's fairly immature, kind of a goofball. Then your three-month-old comes along and they play. That's great. And you have a slightly immature older dog and a slightly more mature younger dog. That is a close enough age range, right? And we're talking about any two dogs that are around the same age and are reliant on each other or build such strong relationship with each other that that relationship is more important than their relationship with
anything else.
Yeah, anything else. Not even just the humans, but like the dogs, the environment,
their independence, else. Like
yes,
all of it.
They're not completely, but they are very, very dependent on each other. And what happens is everyone kind of reads about the, if you do Google littermate syndrome and you get through the first five things that go, hey, it might be a myth, it might be a theory, it might be whatever, you'll find people that are talking about littermate syndrome in the most extreme sense, which is when you have two littermates that hit the age of maturity where they're about 18 months, 2 years old, maybe 2.5, and they start to fight. And they start to try and kill each other.
Yes.
That's the most extreme version, 100%. However, and that's not, just because you have two dogs that are about the same age that aren't actively trying to murder each other does not mean
it's going
that you
have,
yeah, no. There's a lot of people that like to come tell us, oh yeah, I have these two dogs. I raised these two together. They're totally fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you meet the dogs.
Right. Right. Like
they are fine. They're not aggressive
they're not
to each other.
Fighting each other.
They're not aggressive to other people. They are not able to be separated under any circumstances. They are not able to exist without the other. They are not able to experience new
They're
stimuli
missing
without
huge
the other.
Pieces.
Yeah, so what we have found and how we try and describe it to people is that sometimes when you take two dogs that are around the same age and you raise them together and they're dependent on each other, all of the coping skills that you would normally get when you raise one puppy, sometimes one puppy will get one of those coping skills and one
just
puppy will
splits.
Get a different coping skill.
It's not double.
It's yeah, it's not double. It's this one learns how to deal with this and the other one learns how to deal with this. But it doesn't mean that they both learned how to deal with something. It means that one dog knows how to deal with, let's say, meeting new people. So the other dog just follows the first dog. But when they're going to a new environment, that first dog doesn't know how to do that, but the second dog has the coping skills for that.
Mm-hmm.
So what we find is a lot of the times they're completely dependent on each other. They have massive engagement issues with anything else, but they also don't have a lot of coping skills without the other present.
Yeah.
So that makes it very difficult if, say, you were to move. Or
if anything in life changes.
Yes,
like that's
or,
the issue is a lot of times, yeah, okay, if the littermates aren't killing each other, yes, you really, really might not notice an actual issue or something worthwhile training until something happens.
Yes.
You move. One gets injured. You get
yes.
injured. You, like, add another thing into the house, whether that's a child or another dog or whatever.
Any
like,
animal.
Literally, if anything in that bubble changes, that is when there's this issue and people all of a sudden go, oh, well, I don't know why this is occurring. But in reality, this has been an issue since day one.
Mm-hmm.
It just, it wasn't extreme, but it can be.
Yes.
And it can be so extreme once it changes.
Yes. When you see two dogs that are like, you know, a year, year and a half old and, you know, somebody walks them in, there's two people, they walk both dogs in and they're totally fine. But you can't even ask one person to walk to the other side of the room with the dog they have on a leash, and one owner is standing on one side of the room holding a leash, and the other owner is standing on the other side of the room holding a different leash. And these dogs are just literally trying to pull at each other continuously while scream barking because they're separated by 15 feet. Mm-hmm. That is littermate syndrome. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you put both owners standing next to each other,
they're fine.
Oh, they're fine. They're great. They're friendly. They're lovely. They're lovely. They pull on leash. Our issue is pulling on leash. Is it? Yeah, okay. Really? Pulling on leash is an issue. But if you so much as walk these dogs 15 feet apart, they cannot function.
Right.
So, yes, you know, they're not killing each other, but
they need each other, which is like, yes. Again, everybody wants their dogs to get along and have a bond, which is great. But it's also like, that's taking it to the extreme.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have to need each other. They shouldn't have to like, they should, like, each dog should have enough skills on their own.
To function. Like, right. To just function basically. not even be a phenomenal rock star. No. Just like function. We mean like, just like, yes, we can separate them by 15 feet. And they are like, in that example, they wild and crazy. And oh my God, you're 15 feet away. We can't hack it. But like at the same time, you know, we also wouldn't necessarily, what happens if one of those dogs, like Santa said, had gotten injured? So we've broken a leg. We have to be crate rested. Well, our brother can't be crate rested with us in the same crate because then we're not crate rested. We have a broken leg. If we are in a crate with another dog, first off, no bueno. But second off, that's not crate resting. So if that dog can't be crated by itself, how is it supposed to heal?
Right.
If one dog got sick or injured, if one has to go to the groom, passed away, like, oh, how God is help that if dog
passes away?
Yeah, like, that's actually when people are like, "Oh, my dogs are killing each other." I'm like, "Yeah, that's the worst case scenario." The second worst scenario I consider under that is a littermate syndrome situation where or one has passed away suddenly, and the owners had no idea that they were like massively littermate syndrome, and they're like, "Oh my God!" Suddenly, in the last 4 months, my dog has gone wild. My dog
I can't
is like,
"Take them anywhere."
Yeah, my dog, I can't take them anywhere. They're attacking anybody that comes in the house. They're like peeing they're in the reacting. Corner, terrified. Yeah. Holy. And I'm literally like, what happened? And they're like, well, 5 months ago, their brother passed away. So we just think they're sad that they're missing their brother. And I'm like, no, they're sad. They're also, they were never given any skills. Life skills.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's also a really sad thing as a trainer to watch because you can see it. But because people very rarely separate their dogs.
Right.
So like we both live with dogs. Like Oakley was a resource guarder, is a resource guarder, but you don't have a second dog now. I have dogs that I have two male dogs that do not get along. So they can't be
Mac
together.
And Jack.
But like we both live in lifestyles that not all of our dogs are together all of the time.
No.
But what is very common is a lot of people never separate their dogs.
No.
And like we live a very extreme sense in like some of our dogs never see our other dogs. Yeah. Your dog never saw your other dog.
Correct.
Like saw them, but we're never together. My two male dogs are never together.
Right.
That's a very extreme example. But what a lot of people will do is I have two dogs, so I will never separate them. They're always out together. They are always together. They are in some cases, God help us, crated together.
Oh my God.
Yep. Your heart rate just goes to the roof. I'm so sorry.
Please don't crate it. I saw that lots today, by the way.
You saw that what?
Lots today.
Oh, yes, I know. We went to a dog show, so she sees lots of dogs together in a crate. Oh, wow.
Together in the same box. Anyway, don't do that, but anyway.
But that's the thing is, like, we're not even saying, like, hey, they can't see each other at all, but so few people separate their dogs even just once a week that they don't know or that like the dog can't exist without the other dog.
Doing things one at a time, like take one for a walk.
Yes.
As opposed to two. Or, like, just sit with, like, there's so many things like just giving them a little bit of independence is okay, but everybody feels bad. They go like, oh, I don't want the other one to feel left out, or oh, like their brother, their friends. And like, that's great and cool, but it's also just kind of like, you're not giving both your dogs everything they need. And like everybody obsesses over that, but it's like you're missing
but
a huge piece.
People want to see their dogs play together. They want their dogs to have friends. They want them to be friends. What they don't necessarily understand is what dogs need. Dogs need some independence. They need all the coping skills. They need to be able to do that. But people literally see two dogs playing together and like, I don't see
an issue. That's the dream. Everybody just wants that. And it's frustrating because like even having this discussion, we have to use a lot of extreme examples so people kind of get the picture, right? Like, what if one dies? What if they're killing each other? What if one has to be on crate rest because it's injured? But it's even just like the little things. Like, don't you want your dog to have all the coping skills?
Yeah.
Like, even as a human, don't we all strive to have like a little bit more confidence and we want to feel a little bit more like, even if we're not striving for it, it's something we are aware is an issue of, like, wow, you lack a lot of confidence. So we try and work on that. So it's like, why can't we do, it shouldn't have to always be extremes. And I feel like littermate syndrome really, all behavior things in dogs really, but littermate syndrome is something that people really only give a shit about or want to hear the examples of the extreme, but it's just the little things. Like, why can't you just put one dog in a crate and exist with another one?
Oh yeah. People all what the is, time and will come in and be like, that,
like,
yeah, they'll just issue. Be like, oh yeah, we have dogs about the same age. And like, yes, you know, no problems, this and that. And oh, well, you know, they're fine in the kennel if I put them in the boarding kennel, as long as they're in the same room.
Yeah.
It's something like that. It's like, oh, well, they're fine in the car as long as they both ride in the back seat together. Oh, they're fine in the house as long as if they're both crated, it's okay. But if one is out of the crate is in the crate, they're not okay. No. And I'm like, well, that's your first sign.
That's an issue.
People are like, well, what does littermate syndrome look like? My dogs, you know, don't kill each other. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
It looks like one dog runs up to see a new person and the second dog always waits for the first dog to interact first. The second dog never meets someone first. So if for some reason that first dog isn't there, the second one doesn't know how to introduce itself to people because it's only taking social cues from the first dog. And that's also a problem because if they have littermate syndrome and we're only taking cues off the first dog and the dog isn't there, that dog probably has far more engagement to dog one, not to you. So if you are then taking that dog and trying to introduce it to a person, but that dog doesn't really have a relationship with you, only with the first dog, it's not going to take cues off you either. So you trying to introduce the person is still going to be just as stressful because a lot of times what we also see is they build such a high relationship to each other and their engagement to each other is so strong that they very, very, very rarely have good engagement with an owner.
Yeah.
Much less both owners or the family. No. We have such a strong relationship and engagement to each other. We look at each other for
obsession. It's a toxic relationship, folks.
Yes. Yes. Like, it's codependency. And, you know, one dog gets these coping skills. One dog gets this amount of confidence and the other dog has far less. One dog has this amount of fear. One dog has far less. One dog has far more. Like, it,
it's a very
unequal relationship. And yeah, people will be like, well, this dog's scared, but my other one's very confident, so it's okay. And I'm like, well, this is your opportunity to work on.
Right.
If you know this dog is fearful, if you know this dog lacks confidence, if your temporary solution is I've paired this dog with a confident dog, or I understand that I'm taking social cues off of my brother or whatever, and that's getting you through until you build more confidence. Awesome. We love a good...
We use like, that. Like, yeah.
That's a tool. But if you know your dog is fearful, you know your dog lacks confidence, and you know the only thing that is making that dog able to deal with the world is the other dog in the home, that's an opportunity to build on that.
And like it's in a great scenario, maybe you've littermates, but like they're the best trained things in the world and you don't really notice. But like sometimes one dog has an idea that might not be the best idea and it's not super well trained because you can't, it's not a thing that you've thought of or they do or whatever. But if this dog has a really bad idea, now you're not just working with one problem. It will be two. You will have two dogs running. If one dog thinks it's a good idea to go kill a cat, guess what? You've got now two dogs going to kill cats together because they're not going to, one's not going to be like, this is a good idea. And the other's going to be like, I don't think we should do that.
No.
It's going to be a gang.
Yeah.
So that's why it's like that also turns into an issue.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Like, and that also comes down to that, those dogs not having a lot of influences outside each other.
Right.
They don't believe
they're in just feeding off of each other's own little energy and like ideas and festering and like, it's just not good.
No, it's not good. It's not good at all. And it's one of the things we see really commonly at a low level. We actually see fairly commonly at a more significant level. And again, kind of what you said is when we see problems at a more significant level with littermate syndrome, it's significant because let's say you have one significant problem, like my dog kills small animals or my dog is severely reactive or my dog doesn't like people. Chances are if you have a littermate, you now have two double trouble. Of those.
Yeah. And the fun thing is they will have to be dealt, like it has to be dealt with differently. And again, that's our job, but it's also just like, you cannot then, I feel like sometimes owners go like, okay, well, if this dog's doing this, I'll just treat them both the same. No.
Or they go, well, I'm only going to fix the one. They yes. say, well, this yes. one barks at strangers and then this one falls alone. And so like, I only actually have to get training for this one. And I'm like, no, you
a
don't.
A lot with the pairing where like the overly confident one, the one that got all the confidence yeah. in the relationship is the one that is then making bad choices probably in public and doing yeah. all this because the other one is too scared to do anything.
Yeah.
So then they
or
go,
the really confident one is like soliciting attention and launching at strangers and doing all this. And because the other one's getting dragged along, yes. it's now in a situation where it's completely overwhelmed and then it starts biting people.
Yes. But then we always look at it as like, well, this one's starting it. So this is the one that needs training. Yeah. And it's like, no. Yeah. They both need it. Like this is. Yeah.
A lot of people, I get a lot of the second one that's the not confident one. That's the one biting people. That's whatever. And then I meet the other dog in the relationship that's wildly confident.
Yes.
And not trained. No. And just like.
Well, that one's charging into situations.
Yeah, look, it's just jumping on people. And I'm like, yeah, it's charging into a situation.
That one has enough confidence to jump on people and be okay when they kind of get smacked down. Yeah. The other one does not.
Yeah.
But monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah, if all of a sudden you let your one dog off the leash and pinball through a barbecue and people are like, oh, wow, your dog's jumping on me and they like shove it down or they grab its collar, that dog is fine. That dog's like, oh, that was a weird day. I guess I shouldn't jump on you. The other dog, if it charges into something and you go to grab its collar, it's like, I actually didn't want to be here in the first place, bro. Don't touch me.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, it didn't want to run into a crowd of people, but it also doesn't know how to be alone. So it had to follow its older sibling or its more confident sibling and be like, oh, I guess we're charging at people, but it's doing it for a completely different reason. And then we are not going to be okay with the consequences when someone tries to catch us. And that's where I'm like, it's not actually your second dog. Your second dog was totally fine to just run from people, sit in a corner and have nobody touch it. But your first dog just charged in there and, well, this one has to follow.
And, like, that's also why, like, when we're, like, people don't always think about how their dogs affect each other. They yeah. just go, wow, you're the one with the problem, so we'll get training for you.
Yeah.
But this is, and this is not just for littermate syndrome, this is just for anybody with multiple dogs, but this is why we always want all the information for all the dogs in the house, because yes. more often than not, they are affecting each other's behavior.
Yes.
Like, way more often than you think. They are causing
I would
each
say
other,
all the time.
Like, all the time.
Yeah.
I would, I you know, sometimes I throw the bone to, like, the 14-year-old whatever.
Oh, isn't yeah, really the 14-year-old, like, blind, half-deaf, like, chihuahua.
Yeah,
that's
they just
out,
be
or,
vibing
like,
and isn't really affecting what your
that's
golden retriever,
in the corner. Yeah.
your old puppy. Like, yeah.
It's, like, senile and, like,
but
eats
like,
once
yeah,
a day.
Your two dogs, that you got at the same time that are the same age, even though, yes, this one pulls on leash a little bit more. They probably both need training and they are 100% affecting each other's behavior.
Yeah.
Like,
even if it's not to the point of what we would call littermate syndrome, they are affecting each other's behavior. But when it becomes, when their behavior is affected enough that it actually changes how they deal with something like new mm-hmm. stimulus or stress, that's when we call it littermate syndrome. Yeah. And let me tell you, it's not, the earlier you can start to deal with it,
yes.
the easier it is. It's still difficult, but the earlier you can deal with it, the better. But if you wait until they're five,
that's for us to deal with.
That's going to be for us to deal with. Or that might be something that you cannot really
change.
Deal with at that point. At that point, you have to still do a lot of training, but you won't be able to split them, which means there will be a dog in that relationship that lacks certain things for the rest of its life, which is just really sad to see.
Yeah, it's sad to see. And
it's stuff you hack away at and you build at, but it's never what you know that dog could have been if mm-hmm. it was taught independently. And that's just kind of sad.
Yep. So overall, it's just a bad idea to get two dogs mm-hmm. at the same time that are the mm-hmm. same age. But also if you've already gotten yourself into it, if you're like looking at it and you're like, well,
yeah.
they're not killing each other. They really like each other.
Oh my God. Yeah. The people that are just like, oh, but
they
really
they
like
each
other.
They
That's
go
good.
Everywhere with each other. They run in the backyard all the time together, like together, together, together. Mm-hmm. Cool. Maybe consider some training.
Yep.
Because it's
definitely,
not.
Definitely consider some training.
Cause like, I hope they don't kill each other.
Yeah.
But there's other issues.
Yes.
There's other issues that
so
need
like,
to be dealt with.
General minor red flags, like, hey, one is in a crate and one is loose, and you can't have one in a crate and one loose. That's mm-hmm. that's a red flag that says, hey, they yeah. either both are in crates or they are both loose or they lose their mind. They lose their mind if you like put one in the backyard
yeah.
and have one in the house at the other, like they're standing
or literally
at the
door you just like if you both like let's say you there's two people and you're each walking a dog, but then one has to like pick up a poop or throw it away, and then the other keeps walking, and one absolutely loses its mind because the other
both.
One's walking away.
Yes, or they both. They just cannot be walked in separate directions from each other.
Just even a little bit. Like, one is just lagging a little bit behind to throw out something, and the other goes on. That's an issue.
Yeah.
That's an issue.
Yeah. So, things we can do to fix that. That you can even do as just an owner of a dog, just to, like, slowly hack away at something that should be safe and easy to do. Something like, they are crated separately in separate rooms. Like, crate them separately in separate rooms and see if they are okay with that. If they can do that, maybe try every now and then crating one and having one loose. Oof. Crazy times. Crazy. Try walking them in separate directions. Once a week, just take one on one adventure and one on another.
Walk one at a time.
Yes. On Saturday, you walk one. On Sunday, you walk the other. And the rest of the time, you can walk them together. That's fine. Making sure that they don't always meet people together from a very young age. Now, don't try that one if they're already two and you've got already having
issues. Yeah.
But if you have made the mistake of getting two puppies that are under 6 months at the same time and you happen to be listening to this, have them, first off, put them in training classes right now. Please. Separate training classes, not the same time. Like, you do one just on, like, Tuesday, one on training. Wednesday. Like, ooh, completely separate.
And also, if you, if you're not at the point of, wow, this is really, really a problem, you're just, like, putzing around, we're also not saying, like, they have to completely do crate and rotate, and your dogs can never see each other. If you're literally, you whoops yourself into this mistake of, wow, we've got two.
And you don't have major problems. You can still do some of these things.
Lock one in a tower and keep the other one. Like, no, they can interact, but it's also just, like, you do have to offset that with structure.
Yeah, you're now aware of the problem. Maybe do a couple things that, like, if one dog was to get loose and get hit by a car tomorrow, the other would not be completely flabbergasted at how to live this life, right? And this, even just, like, trying to crate one in one room and one in the other, walk them separately, take them to a new place separately once a week type of thing.
Yeah.
That will also allow you to maybe see the actual red flags.
Right.
Like, because there you're may not be gonna problems see
them
you're
if they're
aware.
Constantly together. That's no. the thing.
Yeah, everyone puts them together and goes, I'm going to watch There's them and no see issues. If I see it. And I'm like, you're not going to see it.
You shouldn't see. That's the whole point. They make one complete piece. So when together, you will not see many issues unless you see extreme issues. But if we're talking about the mild, the medium spicy.
I just can't be crated by myself.
You will not see an issue if they are together. If they are crated next to each other. If they are on the walk together. If they are in the same room, always together. You will not see an issue.
Yeah.
You shouldn't, because that's the point. They're the
puzzle pieces to each other. Yeah, they're one solid dog, but split in two.
But meanwhile, if we separate them,
you might start to see bigger issues that you didn't anticipate.
Yeah.
And even if you don't see issues, you're just like, this dog is a lot pullier when the other sibling there. Or, this dog doesn't pull when the sibling is there. This dog all of a sudden walks like a dream when the sibling isn't there. Or, they don't do well crated separately. This is something to just work on. Like, if you have littermates and there's no massive issues, it's something that you can just hack away.
Touch up on their skills. Just make sure that they're well-rounded dogs independently.
Yes.
And again, that doesn't mean they never have to see each other. Doesn't mean they have to be, like, just means you're giving them a better coping skills. You're making sure that they're a good dog on their own. Yes. They could be great dogs together.
It's
but if they're shit dogs by themselves, that sucks to see. That doesn't make you a great owner. And I'm sorry for saying that, but it's true. Like, if they're amazing, they're the best dogs ever together.
And if they're amazing together and they're pretty good on their own, then doing this stuff is just like a check-in.
Right.
It's just kind of helpful. It's maintenance. It's maintenance training in case somebody breaks a leg and they have to be crate rested. It's maintenance training in case one family member is willing to watch one and one family member is willing to watch the other, but they can't watch two together because they're just it's a small apartment.
Life happens. Like, it's just maintenance.
Yes, it's maintenance and it's good training and it's good practice and it's just basically good dog ownership.
Yeah.
Right? Is being able to ensure that your dogs have coping skills for whatever could happen in their life.
Because life happens.
Life does happen.
Sometimes pandemics hit.
Yeah. Sometimes pandemics hit. Sometimes you have to move. Sometimes you get hurt. Sometimes your yard gets torn up and you got to reno. And, like, now you can't
sometimes
let them
your
in
apartment
the yard.
Gets flooded
them.
And you have to move in somewhere else.
Just as a, just that's a completely random example. Yeah. Santa, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. You're doing well, though. Yeah. I think you're doing great. Sienna is living with more family members this week.
Because my dream is to not live alone. My dream is to keep adding roommates. I want to have all the roommates.
You want to live with so many people.
I want to, I want to live, in a frat house.
Yeah. 100%.
With a bunch of dogs.
Yeah.
That aren't mine.
Yeah. Perfect. That'd be good.
Anyway, life happens.
I've Moral offered of the story, you a spot. I said you could sleep in the kennel.
Honestly,
I'm not. All the dogs that aren't yours. I'm not against
it. No, like, people. It just seems like it'd be more time efficient.
I will say there are 30,000 mosquitoes on this property right now, so maybe that's not a great time right now because you'd be, like, living in a dog kennel on a farm. And like, the building isn't bad, but if you so much as walk out of there to come in here and use the bathroom, you are going to get eaten alive.
Hmm.
It's been a fun experience the last few weeks, guys. We have mosquito hats like you wouldn't believe.
It's fashion.
Yes. We are the height of fashion around here. I've got my Crocs. I've got my mosquito hat. What else do I need?
You're set. Somebody call Vogue.
Yeah. I would list another fashion magazine, but I do not know one. I actually forgot Vogue existed until you just said that. Is there more? There has to be more
fashion. There has to be more. Like, I'm...
You also...
Listen, I'm not... I, too, am not the epitome of fashion. I'm just a little bit better than you, but then, like, again, bars.
Most things are. I have one outfit. I have 7 copies of the same outfit, but I have one outfit.
Hey, so did Steve Jobs, and that's... He did okay.
Wow, pep talks by Sienna. If you ever give up dog training, this is your shit right here.
What, is that like the goal to be a white man? Like,
apparently. I mean, they do well. Oh, go 2023. I think, yeah, cool. Don't get litter mates. Don't get dogs approximately the same age. And if you did a whoopsies, and you did, find a trainer. And if you contact a trainer and you say, I have 2 dogs of the same age. And they go, here, bring them to this puppy social group class. Just like hang up the phone.
Say, nah, dog, that's not for me.
Yeah, just go find someone else. And if you say, I have 2 dogs about the same age and I would like to get training, and they offer you, they say, well, we're not going to let you put 2 dogs from the same house in the same class because they're the same age. We're going to do 1 on this night and 1 on the other. Check in the box.
You want to throw something in the email that says, I want to give my dogs independent skills?
Mm.
Hot damn.
My God, I'm replying to that. I'm not. I am waiting for Haley to. But yeah.
She will.
Yeah, she would. 100%.
So
she replies to everything.
Is the moral of every podcast, like, train your dog?
Yeah, this is a dog training podcast. I think that is the moral.
Really?
Yeah. Should we come up with a different...
Like, I was just like, oh, like, moral of the story, like, train your dog. But then I'm like, is that just always the theme?
It's also train each dog.
Right.
Yeah, I think that is the theme of this dog training podcast.
Interesting.
Unless we want to keep teaching people about shapes,
bro. Unless we're switching to squares, yeah. Okay,
cool. You're still very upset about squares. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling I'm going to hear about this all week.
Because it's just an interesting...
I have a very, very easy way to get you away from squares now, though.
How?
Hey, what are you going to see in November 2024?
Guys, November, I shouldn't say the date. I don't know.
November 2024. November, I don't know the date either. I do know the date,
but I'm like, I don't know why I'm trying to keep it a secret, as if who the fuck is going to find me? Like, what am I talking about? Anyway, November 21st, 2024, I will be in Toronto. You know why?
I do know why. Are you going to tell everyone else why?
I got Taylor Swift tickets to Eras Tour. Like, this has been a process. I don't even know if we documented this.
We have not, because this whole process has happened while we weren't recording. And let me tell you, folks, it was a process.
For those who don't know, I enjoy Taylor Swift.
A little bit.
I like her a lot. I've been dying. I've been trying so hard to get tickets. I've tried for Amsterdam. I've come so close. The tears have been shed. This has been an emotional process. And, like, literally Thursday, I made Steph come to my house so I can buy these freaking tickets, because she's one of the only people I knew that got a code other than Sid. Now, it's a whole thing. You don't need to get into it unless you're into that. In that case, just we'll set up a different podcast for that. But
you could have a whole podcast about that.
But, like, I get
you to are
go
gonna go
to the Eras
Tour. You manifested.
Tour.
We all had to manifest.
We all had to manifest super duper hard. But, like, it happened. And I have tickets. And honestly, like, it's been such an emotional, like, 72 hours. Like,
yeah, genuinely.
If it's been, what, we did that Thursday.
Yes.
And now it's Saturday. And I gotta say, like, there's other
You got
things.
Taylor Swift tickets. You trialed again. You've done go-homes. This is
sent a dog home.
We have a dog that has lived with me forever that we finally found a home for.
I met this dog when he was like 10 weeks old, and then I went and he lived and I saw him, and now he's grown and now he's gone.
Yeah.
Like, so it's just been emotional. Such a ride, but like to kick that.
And then we had the world's best go home. I'm going to straight up put those owners up as like they are in the running shout for out. Top owner of the year. That was like absolutely. The best go home of life.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
But yeah, it's just been like a crate. Like the whole weekend has been kicked off though with getting tickets to Taylor Swift, and it's just like I know people might not care, and if you want to have an argument about it, we can. But like I'm just saying, like I'm so excited. Yes. Like, and it might not even come across really, but internally, I've been riding this high. I think it's coming across. Like here's the thing. I don't think it is. Like verbally, I don't think I'm explaining how excited I am to actually say I get to go to the Eras Tour, something that I'm just so thrilled, and it's just kind of like I can't wait, and I know it's a year away, and everybody keeps going haha it's a year away, no I cannot wait, like it's just such like an internal joy.
Well, if the year is from, okay, think about it like this, it feels like Roma. Yesterday was January. Yes. And if that was 8 months, bro,
we just need a couple more dogs.
Yes, really, when you think about it, it's gonna be tomorrow.
I know. Like, here's the thing. I don't even have an outfit. I think we just girl mapped that. I don't even have an outfit. The girl timed that. But, like, I don't have an outfit. I don't have flights. Oh. But, like, I know. Like, I'm just so excited.
I know. I'm aware. I've been here for the whole thing.
I know. It's just such a ride.
I can't wait for you to find out what your outfits are over the next year as you come up with several variations. It's going to be very exciting. Again, height of fashion.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. It's going to be good. But really, if time moves as fast as the last 8 months did, that shit's basically next week. That's the thing.
It's just like, it's already August.
Yeah.
That's the name of a Taylor Swift song.
Yes, I know. At this point, I have now listened to the entire works of Taylor Swift. And I must say, either I have Stockholm Syndrome or she's just really good. But at this point, I'm a fan. I'm not like going to the tour level fan, but I'm a fan. This
What's
is great.
Your favorite album, Steph? That's our pack walk. Talk.
What is my favorite album? Well, I have listened to Reputation at this point in time for that whole 15-hour car ride that we went on.
Nice.
That was the majority of that 15-hour
Because that's Felony's era.
Yes. So when we picked up Felony, girly. We had to fly across the country and then drive into another country. And that was a really quiet car ride. You know, yeah. We flew, we landed, we drove. I've done more than a few road trips. It was great. And then we picked up the tiny 8-week-old sassy puppy. And it was less quiet on the way back. It was less quiet. I will say, I'm going to give her mad props for this. She was super quiet.
She was an angel on the plane. Like, she didn't make a peep. Home, she was so quiet. We were so proud of her. And I still, to this day, will always thank her for that. Like, that was such a good internal memory I have of her. We were worried.
Because the car ride.
However.
The car ride had us worried.
The blood on my fingers from that raging little bitch.
She drew blood on Sienna in the first, 3 hours?
Yes. Like, she meant it. She was a little shark through the crate and got my finger.
Yeah, it was through a fabric crate.
Because she had to be, we had to start practicing her being in the fabric crate for the plane. So she's in the fabric crate and she's at the bottom of my legs.
Also because I'm driving. Oh, right. That forever. Too.
Whatever. Anyway, and she kept trying to poke her little head out. She kept pushing it up and I like, you know, I did that thing, you know, like just palmed her. Like, I was just
you just kept trying to put your palm on the top of her head on the top of the crate and then she got
I don't want her tiny head to burst through, so then I was just pushing her head down. No consequences on my end for a while. And then she came up the one time, except it wasn't her forehead leading, it was her teeth.
She came teeth
as
first.
A little shark. She went no, and then she drew blood on me within the first 24 hours of meeting her.
Actually, she drew blood on you and she puked on you.
Yeah.
You also had puke fest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One day we should really do a deep dive into that.
Okay.
Like, heavily.
She had a lot of feelings that 24 hours.
So did
she
I.
She still does, but yes, you did too.
But, okay, so you, favorite album is Reputation?
I gotta go with that or Midnights, because I was around when Midnights came out and you made me very aware of when Midnights was not only coming out, but then how often we had to listen to it once it came out. how often we, sorry, got to listen to it, right? I'm sorry. Got to listen to it once we came out. Because we, it turns out when there is a new album, you must listen to it several times, maybe dozens of times.
You could have played one of our other albums every now and then.
Not that first week. I don't think you would have allowed that.
Not while I was here.
No, right? That's true. Right. And yeah, so I did, I think I know every word of that album by heart, because I wasn't aware of how many times you had to listen to it for really to sink in.
What's interesting is, have you heard like the deluxe, like the bonus tracks and stuff? Yes.
I don't know. Have you played it? Because I
well, like, the feel original like you would have played edition, it. But here's the thing. So she released the vinyl for one of the things, the new editions, and it has the song Stop, You're Losing Me. Have you heard that one? No, here's the thing. You can't get it on Spotify. You can't stream it anywhere because it's like you can't get it on one of her albums. So what I do is actually some sneaky snickers on Spotify. I actually have it uploaded as like a private like podcast kind of thing. So I literally listen to Stop, You're Losing Me as a podcast. It's a 4-minute song. It's probably one of my top 5 favorite Taylor Swift songs.
Wow.
It is gut-wrenchingly like, wow.
You just really experience all emotions through Taylor Swift, don't you?
Yes, but it's just so... It is such a good song, but, like, it's up there with All Too Well with how much it just, like, hurts you.
Oh, okay.
But I have to listen to it as a podcast.
Oh.
So it's not even going to show up in my Spotify Wrapped because, like, they don't, not for my songs, because they're going to be like, you've never heard this song in your life. That's and I'm true. Like, I have. Mm.
So what's your favorite album? What's your favorite album?
Right now? Currently?
Yeah.
Listening to 1989 a lot to prep myself for 1989 Taylor's version. October 27th.
Gotcha.
2023.
You have already made me aware of that as well. 89. Yes, right. You told me there's a whole thing, 89. It was a whole thing.
It is.
I'm so ready for October.
Me too.
I'm prepped.
I'm ready for 1989 Taylor's version.
Oh, okay.
More so than like Speak Now, Fearless. Love them. 1989?
I'm going to listen to that for the entirety of November Puppy Week, aren't I?
Duh.
Okay, right. Right. True. See, so here's the thing, guys.
Like
normally
what?
For Puppy Week, we only listen to Disney.
Yeah, but like what? You want me to be around puppies all week and not like... No. If I can't listen to it, I'm not coming.
You know, that's actually fair, and I will literally do anything to keep people here on Puppy Week, because everyone thinks puppies are great until they work Puppy Week.
No, I don't even think puppies are great.
Maddie cheered so hard when she went to her car this week, and she was like, last puppy week of the year, I had not put that together, because she goes back to school, and I was like, what?
I almost threw something at her.
Yes.
I was like, fuck you.
She yelled that at me, and I was on my porch, and I was like, oh my god, that's true.
She's heading out the door, and she goes, Sienna, guess what? And I go, what? She goes, this was my last puppy week for the rest of the year. And I'm like, I don't.
Doing puppy week.
Well, for a minute, I'm like, because I was at the computer, I think, editing or something. And then I literally go, what do you mean? Like, I was just confused.
Yeah,
for a minute,
it took
and
you
then
a
I
second.
Went, and then I just stared at her and she goes, yep. And I'm in my final 2 weeks. And I'm like, okay, well, now you're going to make me cry. And
then but then she has to do school.
Boo.
Yeah. Like, we don't, we would, I would do puppy week before I do school. I would. Because it's like, that's like 4 months.
I don't know.
That's so long.
Some of these puppies.
That's true. There's a lot of them all together.
What a trauma from puppies, so.
Well, apparently you also have trauma from rectangles and squares. So what do you not have trauma from? What do you have that is trauma that Taylor Swift can't fix? Really, really genuinely, if you have trauma above what Taylor can't fix, then we have problems. But if you only have trauma to the level that Taylor Swift can fix, then we're okay.
Who does have trauma that Taylor Swift can't fix?
These are good questions. I'm going to say that this counts as a pack walk talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll count this as pack walk talk. I think the listeners of this podcast have learned a lot about you, this one.
Because have we never talked about it? I don't think so.
I don't think we've ever mentioned that you are quite the Swiftie.
It's just like, well, no, it's just like, it's just the greatest songs of our generation.
Right.
So like, why
we've never mentioned that.
Like,
because it's a dog podcast, much like we never mentioned Geometry before this.
Right.
We didn't mention Geometry. We didn't mention Taylor Swift.
Can we just switch this? Can we just not do dog stuff anymore?
I mean, we'll think about it. What else do we know enough to talk about?
Taylor Swift.
Well, you know enough to talk about Taylor
Shapes.
I know enough about shapes. You don't.
Hey. Why? You don't know my shape knowledge.
You got real angry about triangles, man.
Did you hear about the new shape?
Actually, yes.
The hat one, right?
Well, no, like I got like the first 5 seconds into a TikTok and it was like, there's a new shape. And I was like, oh, I can't deal with this right now. That was in the middle of my breakdown like 2 weeks ago. And I was literally like, you know what? I can't deal with this right now.
That
seems like too much.
That's too many shapes.
Yeah, that was that moment where I was just like, yeah.
That was the shape that broke Steph's back. She just couldn't do it.
You know when you just scroll and scroll. And I remember watching the first 5 seconds of it. But I watched the first 5 seconds of a lot of TikToks that week where I just was like,
I can't handle
it. I couldn't handle watching an entire TikTok. And I remember at least once I saw a TikTok that was like, this shape. There's a new thing. They discovered
a new shape.
Yeah, it was like one of the news ones. It was like a thing. And I remember being like, nope. And I just went, and I'm like, well,
of all the things, there's so much bad news, there's so much shit on fire, and you're just like, the shape. This is why I think we should switch.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad idea. We're gonna consider it. Well, listen. Apparently, Haley's informed us there's a new Q&A feature, so maybe our Q&A for this one can be: what else do you think we are qualified to talk about at length for an hour once a week?
I don't know, man. I can talk a lot.
Yeah, we can talk a lot, but not like we're not educated on certain things. We can muddle our way through a great many conversations, and we can fake it till you make it with the audacity that you would not believe. But like we qualified, both know, right? Yeah.
Well, next week's episode is on the new hat shape, so stay tuned.
I'm gonna look up this shape now. Now I'm in the right place to deal with this.
Mentally, we're ready to open back up to shapes.
Yeah, not really spiritually, but mentally, I think I can start to deal with it. Well, spiritually, I'll have to deal with it in a month or so. Fuck. I have to trial again next week, so maybe a few weeks after that.
See you next year.
Yeah. I trial in a week. I don't think I'm gonna be able. Maybe I should deal with it today or tomorrow, the new shape, because after that,
you have time to recover.
Yeah. I won't be able to deal with it closer to the trial or right after. So
have you seen it?
No. I didn't make that. I literally spent like 3 days watching the first 5 seconds of 7,000 TikToks and not actually getting further with that.
Okay. Well.
Such is life. 2023. Isn't that what everyone's doing in 2023? Just like doom scrolling? No? Oh.
No.
Listen, no. I'm a millennial. You're not. That's what millennials are doing in 2023. We're just doom scrolling.
Well, like, what is your, maybe here's the thing. I should take your phone for a bit and like do, like, I'll make your TikTok FYP look like mine.
Okay, no, I'll take yours and I'll make yours look like mine.
No, because I don't need that.
Nobody needs that, man.
Right. So you don't need that. That's why I'm saying I'll make your FYP look like mine. It's a lot of ears tour streams.
Okay.
It's a lot of. I just, not to sound cocky, but, like, my feed's pretty funny, and I feel pretty proud of it.
All right.
Like, my feed is entertaining, and, like,
not. Yeah, the next time I'm on this roller coaster and it starts going down, right? Because now we're headed up. If my roller coaster starts going down, I'll give you my phone. You can make my feed a little happier.
Okay. Because I think that's a lot of the issue, personally.
Is my
TikTok? I gotta make your feed better. I gotta make Maddie watch Inside Out.
Yeah. Okay. You gotta give Jude his goodnight lullabies.
Fuck.
We're all like, relying on you, man. My back is
just hurting a little bit, folks.
Oh, wow. Carrying the team like a champ. Wow. Okay, well, on that note, that was fun. I think we stayed on topic for most of it until we talked about Taylor Swift for 20 minutes.
I'm happy with it.
Yeah, that tracks. Okay, bye.